Freddy and the Z-Man.
No?
Right, said Fred and the amazing Xandero.
No?
Xander Fred? Fred Ziffel and Arnold? Okay, I'm done messing around. This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Every day I come in here, the microphone's weird. The lighting is off, but it's a beautiful day outside,
Fred.
Yeah, it's gorgeous out too, isn't it?
Shooting a movie down here.
I was going to say.
So I got out of the elevator.
I come down, there's another shooting.
Right. A different kind. A positive one, maybe, depending on how good or bad the movie is. But I got out of the parking garage. It's like, what? Why is everything so crowded? I mean, it didn't make it any harder, but you're not used to seeing all this humanity on a Sunday morning.
No, not at this point of the day. No. I didn't think everybody was down here just celebrating Mother's Day.
Yeah, right.
Yesterday, though, was crazy. I left here after White Sox Weekly at like 5:45 yesterday, and I liked it better when nobody came downtown. I really did. There were people everywhere.
Wait. Are you saying that we're going to miss the lockdown days downtown here maybe
this
summer?
There's always parts of things you miss.
Yeah, a silver lining.
Oh, just remember when COVID was here.
And nobody
was
downtown.
We were able to get around downtown easy.
We were able to park free on the streets.
So
nobody
easy.
Cared.
Yeah, there weren't crowds.
The tow truck drivers were even staying in.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Hey, believe me, I drive some Sundays, and getting home on 90... Soon as you get out, it's like, it's going to take longer than the train.
Yeah.
But this is summertime in Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
Or springtime.
And people are coming down. I mean, it was very crowded. It was nice to see. I am done with masks, though.
I'm officially done?
Yeah, I'm done. I mean.
You said earlier, almost done. Now you're done.
Because technically you still got to wear them because you can't get in anywhere without them.
Right. They have signs everywhere.
Yeah.
I agree.
Awful.
I'm not wearing them outside anymore. And I never got so close to anybody to where I really did unless I had to be in a crowd. Yeah.
Let's be honest. Other than our loved ones, who wants to be close to either of us?
Nobody should. That's
fine. Tyler doesn't. Tyler's happy, he's on the other side of the glass.
And he's got two panes of glass
for
extra protection.
Sure. There's no way he wants to be near any of us.
We go in that room and he's like backing up saying, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's got one of those, a portable a piece of glass. He just carries it with him. I thought that's what we should all have.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Yeah. Just a spit guard.
Yeah, a little helmet, you know. Yeah. You put the shield down like a motorcycle helmet.
You know, Daft Punk. Get a Daft Punk helmet.
Yeah. I like the motorcycle helmet. You just wear it, and then someone comes near you, you just flip down the shield. Yeah, that'd be perfect.
That's not weird and cumbersome at all.
Well, they can make them lightweight. They can do so many things nowadays, you know, with fashion and all that. Not that I know anything about fashion.
I mean, the shirt I'm wearing. Hey, stay in your lane, will you?
I wore a White Sox shirt yesterday. I have a picture of me standing next to the White Sox World Series trophy in 2005 wearing the same shirt I wore yesterday.
The very same shirt.
And it's funny because it's big on me now.
Do you not,
am I shrinking as I get older?
Well,
I guess.
Well, apparently you are.
Yeah.
Well, you said you lost weight, right?
Yeah, I did. But, I mean, I lost.
It sounds like you haven't washed that shirt very often. Because if it's still alive 15 years down the line.
I don't wear it very often.
Okay.
I wash it anytime I wear it.
Okay.
And then hang it up.
You just don't wear it too much.
Yeah. Right. I don't wear it that often. And now it's big. I think I'm going to give it away.
The other way. Where you wear it a lot, you just don't wash it.
I know. Yeah. That's not the case. Today, though. And we'll get to baseball because both Chicago teams are winning, which is not something we were able to say a couple weeks ago.
No.
And the Bulls actually have won a game or two. And now, is it the good time?
They killed the Celtics.
Yeah. Is it the right time to be? They did. But then there was one point where it got to be 10 points. And I'm going, okay, this is your typical Bulls game. Yeah. They're going to blow a big lead. But they didn't. Next thing, they opened it up to 20 again. But I get in my car this morning, and I got a new car. And the new car tells you exactly how many miles you have left in your tank.
That technology has been around a while. You must have had it on your other ones.
No. Because my car before this was a 2012. It didn't have that stuff. So this one told me, I get in the car, it says 50 miles. I said, I better get gas. Yeah. Just in case I decide to go somewhere afterwards, okay?
That tool would have been helpful in the 70s, right?
Oh, it would have been great.
Yeah, I know.
Would have been tremendous.
I ran out of gas with a date. And her dad had to pick us up. That's a story for another time.
Well, we could, you know, we'll get to that maybe on Sweetest Day or something. That's October, I think. So, so I go to get gas, and I get gas at Speedway. Okay, because I don't know where the Pride stores are. Carmen talks about the Pride stores. There's 15 of them in the Chicagoland area. I don't know where they are. So
I haven't happened on one, but I'm far out.
Yeah, so I go. You're far out, dude. Yeah, so I go to the Speedway, and you can either put in your Speedway card, you know, to get points and all that stuff.
That's usually the first step.
Yeah. Or you can just put in your alternate ID, which is your phone number. So I punch in my phone number. I stick in my credit card. Because I don't have a tap card. I do, but I don't use that for gas. I put the card in. It says reading, chip card. Then it says sale, card failed, sale canceled. Now, I know the card's good.
Yeah.
I pay the bills. I got a really nice, what's it called? Your credit. I have a real nice credit score or whatever.
Is it a metal card?
No, no. Okay. So it doesn't work. So I said, okay, so I go to another pump. Same thing happens. So then I use a different card, thinking maybe it's the card. That doesn't work.
You haven't gone in yet?
No. I went to another pump. I figured, well, this pump must be messed up.
Right.
And I walk in and I go, what's going on? And just like that. I held my hands up. If you're on twitch.tv, I held my hands. I go, hey, what's going on with the pumps? I've tried two different pumps. It's rejected me. It says sale canceled.
How very Chicago of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the lady goes, well, you can pay inside. I said, I hate paying inside because I don't know how much I fill my tank up. I don't know how many.
And you don't
dollars.
Like to leave. I get that. Yeah. It's like, okay, here's my card.
Yeah.
I'm going to go fill up and I'll leave it to you to charge me the right amount. I don't like that.
I know. So I say, what if I tell you I want to put $30 in and the card doesn't take $30? They said, well, you'll only get billed with the. I said, okay, whatever. I said, give me 25. So as I put 25 in. And I look in and it filled it. So I said, okay, I was fortunate or whatever. But that's the way you start the day. It's raining, you're pumping gas, then the meter, it doesn't take your card. It's like, come on.
Well, the thing that would aggravate me there is could we put some signs out on the pumps?
Yeah.
You need to pay inside.
Well,
or something like
that. But everybody else seemed to be doing fine, which was even worse.
All right.
Everybody else was pumping, nobody was going inside.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, welcome. Last night, I had my night all planned. I was going to do White Sox Weekly with Jeff Meller from 3:30 to 5:30. Meller will do the pregame today. Yeah. So I was going to do that, then go home and watch the game. So on the way home, I stop at a brewery. I do that sometimes. And there's a brewery right there called Black Horizon Brewing in Willowbrook, right off of 55 and 83. And I stop there, and I order a beer. And as I'm getting the beer, I look, and the Sox are winning 2-0, 8-0. I said, I'm going to have another beer because there's I don't need to watch the game now.
Well, you certainly don't have to race home.
Yeah.
Everything's going to level out.
Yeah.
As it did. Same thing. I was busy, had to run an errand, came back, and we're getting dinner together, and say, wait a minute, I had to go get my glasses because the TV was far away.
Uh-huh.
And Rainey's
so instead of walking towards the TV, you got
no,
your
glasses. No, because I was having dinner. I'm like, wait a minute, is that an 8?
Yeah.
That's an 8. Wait a minute, it's bought. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it leveled out.
So I said, oh, I don't have to pay really that much attention to the game at this point. They scored 8 runs. The only way I have to pay attention is if the other team comes back. And so I kept looking. And then I went to a place called Stillin's over on Ogden because a friend of mine was there and another guy I know that my wife used to work with was playing guitar in this band called the Loose Screws.
And bands are starting to play live again.
Yeah.
I've already made plans to do to see a show that pre-pandemic I probably wouldn't have gone to, but everything has changed in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to do stuff that I have just taken for granted before just because we can.
So I walk in there, I see my friends. And this guy's playing guitar. He sees me between songs and says, Fred, what's going on? How you doing? And stuff like that. So then it turns out his son plays saxophone. His son has got to be in high school still. He's killing it on sax. He sounds great. His daughter comes up and sings a song, which was like unbelievable. I'm with the other people. I go, it's not just me. She's pretty good. And they go, yeah, she's like really good. And it was very, very cool. Then I get home. Realizing I had pulled out ground beef to make pasta sauce with. It's 10 o'clock.
So the only sensible thing to do would to have made it.
I did.
As you should have.
So first I got to brown the beef, brown the ground beef, and get the pasta out, start the water boiling, and I make pasta, and I sit down, it's like 11 o'clock. So I had a little bowl of pasta, fell asleep right away, and then I got a lot of pasta for the next day or two, and it was really good. Italian sauce, it was Italian sausage, classico sauce. I don't make my own sauce. It's not like I'm not letting the tomatoes simmer and all the other stuff.
Don't you crank the pasta through the pasta maker?
No, never, none of that stuff. Grabbed a box of rigatoni, threw it in, and had that.
You know who makes his own sauce for pizza and spaghetti?
Who?
Me.
Do you really?
Yep. It's not that hard.
No, I wouldn't think it is.
Now, I'm not saying that I'm squeezing tomatoes. I'm just getting the base, but I'm adding everything.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, my wife taught me.
So I take the classico with Italian sausage sauce, put that, and then I throw the meat in there. So it's kind of like a bolognese,
Look at you.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there eating pasta at 11:30 last night. I get to bed at 12:15. Alarm goes off at 5:55.
It's really a weird analogy, but Sam Giancana got shot to death making sausages at about 2 in the morning.
Did he?
Yeah, in his basement kitchen.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But you're not a mobster.
Not that it was an afterthought. Yeah,
Huebner?
I know. I did grow up in Cicero, though.
Well,
I know a lot of those guys.
Well, I'm sure you do.
I knew a lot of those guys.
I'm sure you do.
Yes, yes. One of my dad's best friends was Frank Maltese. And Frank Maltese was a nice guy.
Yeah.
So
to some.
To most. Frank was my brother's Little League coach.
That is
West Cicero Little League. It was awesome. It was a great place. Anybody that knew Frank and his son Johnny?
Hey, you're good.
Salt of the earth guys.
You're good.
Yeah. You grew up in Cicero, you just got to know who to know.
Right.
And probably now, too. Every town got to know who to know. Town politics and all that stuff. Right. Yeah. So, but it's all because the reason I'm doing this whole long story, it's all because the White Sox scored 8 runs in the first inning. Otherwise, I would have just been home. If they didn't score 8 runs.
You wouldn't have had any of those experiences.
I would have had the one beer and I would have gone home and watched the game. So I wouldn't have had the second beer. I wouldn't have gone and seen the band play. I wouldn't have I would have made the pasta and everything at 7 o'clock instead of midnight. So all that. I wouldn't have seen my friend Lori and her friend John. I went to high school with both of them. Lori was actually my prom date. So it was fun. It was a fun little night.
Well, I wonder if she was happy to see you.
She was the one that called me and told me they were there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I said, hey, I know the guitarist. I'm going to be right there. So he played a really cool, Rob Russo, his name is. He played a really cool green guitar, and he was jamming. They were playing all kinds of stuff. She had half of her sandwich left, and on the top of the box it said Tom Petty. I don't know what. And then she was holding it up because she wanted him to play a Tom Petty song.
Well, that's a good way to get a request through.
Yeah. So, sure. Yeah, and she could flip it because it was like a club sandwich. It's already a jumbled, so it didn't, whatever was left, not a big deal.
Live music, that's awesome.
Oh, I can't wait.
For some reason, the other day, I just started seeing things on social media. This band's going to be here, and it's like, all right, it's go time. I got to get out. And again, a lot of these things I would not have considered going to.
Uh-huh.
Now it's game on.
Yeah, I think so. Well,
the race to get back to normal.
They're thinking in June. Right? They said they're going to try open everything in June.
Right.
So it may go to, is it going to go to 100% at stadiums and stuff like that? I'm going to a game Thursday. I'm going to the Sox game Thursday. Right. And then we got a segment later on in the show, but I bought concert tickets the other day. So we're going to talk about concert tickets later on. You and I have spent our lives going to concerts. You haven't had to buy as many tickets as
no.
I did. Yeah, because
Big
you're in the business.
Smile on my face.
Yeah, look at that. Now it'd be
backstage, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Lucky.
But when we come back, in case you missed the White Sox first inning, we'll talk about that. And White Sox fans, in the last week, Luis Robert goes down and Tony La Russa.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and you know what? My hand's up. Everybody that's out there right now, hold your hand up if you knew the rule before that it happened on Wednesday. Because...
No, it was an obscure rule, but some people are paid to know that stuff.
I know that.
I'm not.
No. Either is Tony, apparently. So we'll talk about Tony La Russa. We'll talk about the White Sox. Cup fans, I'm not forgetting about you. We'll get to them. 5-game winning streak for the Northsiders. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew what I did on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So maybe I saw some of them. You never know when you run into people. sometimes people, hey, I saw you at such and such. Come say hi.
Yeah, well, then
I'll buy
do
you
that.
A beer.
Well, and look, if you're
plus there's only one of you.
Oh, wait, you have a maximum.
Well,
one
yeah.
at a time. If you're at a local craft beer place, there's a chance you may be there.
Yeah, well, I'm wearing a White Sox jacket, and some guy asked me, he goes, you a big Sox fan? So I knew he didn't know any. So I just started talking to him. He goes, yeah, I used to follow him. He goes, what's going on? How's this guy pitching it? And I'm just really rattling stuff off. And I was I'm glad he didn't, you know. I never tell people unless they know who I am. One day I did. My wife's like, tell him who you are. Tell him where you work. I did. And as I told the guy, I knew he didn't have any idea.
That's the worst. When you take that step.
Yeah.
So I'm the same way. I've a couple times made a point, and then it's like, okay,
yeah,
that was lame.
The reason,
lame.
And I told my wife, I go, don't tell me to do that again. I go, I knew he didn't listen. She goes, how did you know? I said, because he's wearing a rugby jersey tucked into his khaki pants. I said, I'm sorry.
You don't do that.
You don't tuck any jersey into your pants, into your khakis. No. I'm sorry. It just looks.
Yeah, and the khakis too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I said, so I knew right away he didn't listen.
Because we listen. Pickett, are you in the office or are you on the field?
He's one of the guys we would have made fun of on the radio. Yeah. And I'm doing it now.
You are.
I'm doing it right now. We come back. Nothing to make fun of with the White Sox or the Cubs. Tony La Russa? Ah, maybe another story. We'll talk about that and more. Fred and Xander, jump on in. 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Teammates call him. Would love to just get a change up thigh high right now to crush.
0-1 pitch. Swung on and lifted into left. Will it stay fair? It is. Off the wall in left. Anderson will come around first and score. So will Nick Madrigal. Yoan Moncada clears the bases on a what, DJ?
A change up that he could crush.
Here's the 0-1, swung on, lifted high into center field. Back goes Dyson. He's at in front of the track. This will score the run. Sadie stays put at first. It's a sack fly for Grandal. 3-0 White Sox. The 2-1 pitch to Vaughn is lifted high and deep to left. Back goes Benintendi at the track. It's off the wall. Dyson's going to pick it up. Around comes Mercedes to score. It's an RBI double for Andrew Vaughn, who missed a home run, his first by that much. 4-0 White Sox. Vaughn at second. The 0-1 is lifted into right field. Will this stay fair? It does. Chalk came up. Vaughn is going to score. Leury Garcia's in the third with a triple. Two offenses that'll get outside the zone if they so choose. Doesn't mean they can't make contact and do damage. 2-2 pitch. Into left, deep, and gone! Danny Mendick with a home run. Swung on, liner into center field for another hit. Anderson will come around third and score. 8-0 White Sox.
Ah, Connor McKnight got a whole night's full of work in the first inning yesterday.
He did.
Yeah.
White, a busy man.
White Sox with 8 runs. In the first inning, they sent 13 runners to the plate. You heard that right here on ESPN 1000, the home of your Chicago White Sox. Sox sent 13 batters to the plate, hit for the cycle as a team. So the first three batters in the lineup go 2-for-2, all that in the first inning, as they win 9-1 yesterday. Biggest inning of the season. First time they scored 8 runs and hit for a cycle in the first inning since 2002. The 9 hits were the most they've had in the first inning since 1974. So that's the way to get a game
you
started.
Blink, look, you blink,
yeah,
and that's what can happen.
Yeah.
And by the way, that was a nice presentation. Walk This Way is Grandal's walk-up song these days now.
Is it?
No.
It should be. That's about all you can do right
now. That's my point.
Yeah, I know. That and catcher's interference, which Zach Collins got a call on that on Friday
I don't think
night.
There's a song that involves catcher's
interference.
No.
Yeah.
I'd have to look, but I'm pretty sure not.
We got to find one because it just continues to happen. But the White Sox have won a couple of games. They take the first two in Kansas City, hoping to win today. Lucas Giolito goes to the mound. We got a guy
on for the sweep.
There was a guy on my Twitter. You can get to me at Fred underscore Huebner, him at
Xander Rocker, all one word, one R in the middle.
JP says, do you think there'll be a Cubs game today? I would think not. It's supposed to rain
pretty steadily
most of the day. So we'll see. Maybe they'll try to get
in. Hey, they canceled the Allstate Arena's flea market. Every time I pass it on Sunday mornings, it's packed.
Yeah.
And nobody was out there.
It was canceled.
And I'm like, you know, flea marketers are usually pretty sturdy people, hardy people.
Yeah.
They weather the storm, but no.
Huh.
So I would say no game.
Well, the one thing is that they're playing a team like the Pirates who they see a lot. So
you get the opportunity.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see. If something happens, we'll let you know as soon as it does here on ESPN 1000. Callers hanging there. We'll get right to you. 312-332-3776. So the White Sox have questions. Definitely not their starters. No question about their starting rotation right now because they're unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Scoreless. The starters now scoreless streak, 25 and a third innings. 5 scoreless innings yesterday for Lance Lynn. The rotation scoreless streak began with the last inning of the third from Lucas Giolito last Sunday. It carried through Dylan Cease with 6, Dallas Keuchel 7, Carlos Rodon 6, and now Lynn with 5 yesterday. So the Sox starters combined for 28 strikeouts and 10 hits allowed in the last 25 and a third innings.
It has been a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Carlos Rodon could arguably be our ace right now. I mean, I know Giolito has earned that, but if we were just dealing on numbers.
Oh, and this year,
Right now, he was gone from zero to hero. Unbelievable story.
Yeah. Your thoughts on the White Sox, the rotation, and can the way the White Sox hit, can that cover up for, can they win in spite of mistakes that the manager might make?
Well, Fred, if managers don't matter.
That's why I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because last night, you know how you avoid manager making mistakes and costing you games?
Send them home?
You score 8 runs in the first inning.
Yes.
Yeah. And you just let them stand there make pitching changes.
The less choices or decisions they have to make, arguably, would help in this situation.
We had a caller on White Sox Weekly yesterday, always 2 hours before the pregame for the Saturday game. And he said, I wish we would have just kept Ricky Renteria.
Oh.
So again, me saying the managers don't mean much, I didn't have a problem with Renteria last year. People said, well, look what he did in that playoff game. Do you think Ricky Renteria sat there and did all that by himself? Do you think it was him? He, you know, just in his own head, he goes, you know, if there's problems in the first inning, we're going to take Dane Dunning out. We're going to go to Bummer and we're going to go to Crochet and all these other guys.
Good point. But we
talked about it as a group.
But we really don't know.
Yeah.
And so when something happens with a company, let's take it out of sports for a second. When something happens with a company, the person on top gets all the blame.
Right.
Even though you really don't know how it went down.
Sure.
So it's the same thing in sports.
Yeah. It is. So he got blamed for a lot of stuff. The players loved him, and the players seemed to love Tony La Russa. We all thought that would be a problem relating with the younger guys.
Well, and we're hearing, though, we've heard some reports, nobody's mentioning any names, that were maybe a little dissent in the clubhouse over some choices and decisions he's made. But I made the point, are we always satisfied with our boss? Of course we are.
Hell
here
no.
With Mike. Our boss. I mean, we're always satisfied.
Well, satisfied, but you don't. Right. You're not always satisfied.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when I hear there's a little dissent, it's like, okay, easy on the drama. Yeah, somebody was mad about something he did. Of course, that's life. That's going to happen with a coach or a boss or whatever the case.
Yeah. If you're Cap, Mike Thomas has never done a wrong thing in his life.
Right.
If you're Cap.
Right. But that's what he says.
Exactly.
And maybe not what he thinks.
Watches every TV. I mean, I heard Hood the other day. If Mike suggests a TV show to Cap, Cap goes home and watches it as soon as he gets home.
He can really mess with Cap then.
Oh, you sure could.
Oh,
tell him, this is a great show, Cap. Watch the whole thing. Cap's probably listening right now, yelling at me. He's probably not walking because
he was
raining.
Yelling at you the other day.
What Cap
about
was?
The managers?
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't
hear me, Fred?
Yeah,
I heard it.
Yeah, they don't.
I had a snicker.
They don't mean anything. Let's go to the south side of Michael. Michael, what's going on today?
Hey, you know what? One thing, one about the White Sox, one about the Cubs.
Yeah.
First, the Cubs. It's fool's gold. They ain't all that. I mean, they beat the Dodgers because the Dodgers can save, can keep a lead to save their life. And the Pirates, I think they scored two runs in the last seven games. That's it. The maximum is two runs, and that's it. They couldn't score. Even if they base load nobody out, two runs, that's it. They're done. As far as the White Sox concerned, they can do it without Tony La Russa making bad decisions, you know?
Yeah. I think they can. I mean, I think with the pitching staff they have and with the hitters they're supposed to have, is if Moncada and Abreu start hitting the ball like they're supposed to and like they have in the past.
And nobody's really hitting a lot of home runs. We're not seeing that this year at all. And they're scoring a lot of runs. Yeah, you know, you're just your singles, your doubles, your triples, your walks.
Yeah. Listen, the White Sox had 26 homers, fewest in the American League entering yesterday. So they hit one. They were second in the American League last year. So they're not even hitting homers, and they're in first place by half a game.
Right.
So
that's how much talent is on the South Side.
Yeah. Michael, appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks.
And that's one of the questions I want to ask Cub fans, too. Is it fool's gold? I mean, they did sweep the Dodgers. But
the Dodgers are really playing bad.
They're struggling right now. But they did. But, you know, you can only play who's there.
Right.
So they beat the Dodgers in three games. They've won the last two from Pittsburgh. They will or will not wrap up the series today, depending on the weather. So is this the really real Cubs team? Can this Cubs team compete for the division? Is the division bad enough? Or that makes it sound
not
like
good enough.
Yeah, not good enough. And they can actually compete and win the division and make the playoffs? And is that what you want to see from your team? I would think you would. I mean, this isn't a thing where you blow it up to get a draft pick. They've done that once before. It took them 4 or 5 years to do it, and they got their picks. They won a World Series. But
we talked to Steve Greenberg of the Sun-Times yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And we put that question to him.
Yeah.
He says, same thing, fool's gold.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And then the possibility of getting, you know, letting all three of the big names walk.
Right.
Was really shocking to me. But then again, KB's playing well. But
he's playing
real
well.
But does that just make it a bigger asset for them to get something in return?
Yeah, but the good news for the Cubs, not only do they have 2 days off this week, Monday and Thursday, like the White Sox had last week, but they also go to Cleveland and Detroit. Cleveland can't hit. They've been no-hit twice this year, and Detroit's one of the worst teams in baseball. So that's a good thing. You wrap up the series with Pittsburgh, then you play Cleveland and Detroit. You can have a nice little winning streak here, and who knows? Maybe get some confidence. Your pitchers pitch better.
That's a good point. That confidence, you know, if you're playing teams that are just so-so, if you're getting confidence from that and you can parlay that into the next series where you're playing somebody that has a decent record, you know, that's all part of it, too.
Callers hanging out. We'll get right to you. 312-332-3776. We got a Rock Poll coming up at 9:45. Jesse Rogers is going to join us at 10 o'clock, talk more baseball, see what he thinks about the Cubs and their winning streak. We'll jump in with you. We come back after this.
Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
There's a reason that some people say I don't know sports either. There's a reason I talk sports and beer, because those are like two things I know. A little bit about.
Go with what you know.
Yeah. I don't know weather, because I said it was going to rain most of the day.
Well, that's why we have an app for that.
Yeah. Yeah. The ABC 7 app and Tracy Butler. I would have just expected Tracy to call us, because I know she listens all the time. And she usually is texting me. But, yeah, according to the ABC, it says breezy and chilly, periods of rain ending in the early afternoon.
Right.
So, you know, maybe since the Cubs have tomorrow off, I don't know what Pittsburgh has, but if they're not in a hurry to get out, they'll just delay the game a little bit. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they can get the field in shape.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's not going to be a pretty day. It's going to be a pretty raw day.
Yeah, especially,
Yeah, you know, it's early baseball in Chicago.
Early season baseball. The White Sox yesterday did very, very well as they knocked off the Royals. The Royals pitcher was making only his second start in the bigs. He went 4 2/3 in his first start, which was Monday. He left with runners on base, and the guy that came in gave up the two runs, so he gave up 3 runs in 4 2/3. Yesterday, he gave up, 8 runs in 2/3. So that was not good for him.
Too bad, so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't be too worried, because, you know, it's happened to, let me see, Lynch gave up 2/3 of an inning, 7 hits, 8 runs, 1 walk, struck out nobody. 34 pitches, and he was done. And the White Sox got another run late in the seventh inning. But that was it. Nick Madrigal, 2-for-5. Anderson, 2-for-5. Moncada, 2-for-5. All of their hits were in the first inning. They didn't get another hit after the first inning. Those three.
Hey, that's one way to work. Get it all, you know, get it all out of the way early. Yeah.
And Yasmani Grandal, as you mentioned, no official plate appearance yesterday. Four times he was up, four walks.
He's like a ghost.
Yeah, four walks. So you don't even know he's there. Yeah, he just happened to be around. No catcher's interference that I know of yesterday. But yeah, it was nice to see him. When Lance Lynn, who's sitting there waiting to take the mound, the question came to him yesterday after the game. Lance Lynn, as I mentioned, went five innings last night, and he gives a one hit, walks four, strikes out six. They asked Lance Lynn, you know, what do you do after your team scores eight runs before you're even on the hill yet?
Don't screw it up. They spot you eight in the first. You're like, I got to figure out, make sure I get some zeros on the board so we get this going, and then we have a good night. That's the main thing.
And he did, as we mentioned. He had nothing but zeros on the board. White Sox, by the way, scored their other run in the ninth, not the seventh. Kansas City scored their run in the seventh.
I mean, we're not surprised they took him out at about 90 pitches, right?
No.
With that kind of lead. Why would you tax him?
Yeah, that was his second game back. Right. He pitched last Saturday.
Yep.
And then because of the two off days, he pitched again this Saturday. So he pitched.
And he had that back issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Trapezius muscle, I guess.
Right, right.
And so he was down. So he went five innings. White Sox starters, they continue with their scoreless streak. And he said all the starters are just trying to one up the other one, basically, and stick and do as well as the first guy.
Every team I've been on that have had great postseason runs have, you know, quality starting pitching. So when you're trying to do that, you have to have, you know, five, six, seven guys that can show up and give you quality innings, especially starting the game. Yes, we will feed off of each other. We're not afraid to, you know, get after each other and make sure that everybody is doing their job and make sure that we're trying to push each other from starting to start out, whether it's, you know, just talking about game plans and what we see and how we see guys attacking things and stuff like that. So we're keeping each other accountable. We're making sure that everybody's doing their job to be the best they can be, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, and they are. Just look at the way that Rodon has been pitching and the way that Dylan Cease has pitched his last couple of games.
Right. This is what we expected. We were hoping. We had no idea. Take Rodon out of it because we had no idea it was going to turn out. We were talking about Reynaldo Lopez making the team, and Rodon did.
Yeah.
And we were kind of surprised, but we're like, okay, Ethan Katz must see something we're not seeing.
Right.
He deserves a lot of credit because, you know, he's gotten Cease to kind of, you know, straighten his, you know, his form out.
Yeah.
And that's been the success there. And he's obviously behind the success of Rodon.
Yeah.
It's good to have a guy like that around.
It is.
But we expected a dominant starting pitching staff. And yeah. Wow.
And now
we have it
one.
Even probably more so than we would have imagined.
Yeah. Well, the best ERA for a starting staff in Major League Baseball. Ethan Katz talked a little bit about Dylan Cease. We'll hear from him in a second. Let's go to Glendale Heights first. Talk to Tim. Tim, what's happening today?
Hey there, Tim.
Hey, Fred. How you guys doing? Good morning.
Good.
I think, I do agree. I think the Sox are coming on now. It's obvious. They're starting to play better baseball overall. But, Fred, I just wanted to get you guys' comment on the incident with, you know, La Russa and the Reds game and the lack of understanding on the rule. You know, I mean, I go back with him in the 70s and the early 80s with the Sox, and I've admired him for, you know, for decades. But it was a little concerning, but I do think the media, just in general, I thought jumped on. Just, you know, kind of jumped on it real hard.
That's what
and
we
I just
do.
I thought it was a little unfair, but
that anyway, is what we thought, do. Yeah.
No, and Tim, I don't disagree with you. I didn't necessarily want him to be here as the manager, and I didn't know the rule. And I know that I'm not paid to know the rule. He is.
Right.
I don't think that cost them the game. They didn't hit the ball.
No, it did not cost them the game. Leary took off. He should not have stole that base. And if Abreu was on third, would he have been able to truck it home?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We would have had a smarter runner on base, but that would not have made the difference. My issue is, where were the coaches on this thing?
I know.
A little help, please.
Right. You have a bench coach. You know, Tim, the bench coach is Miguel Cairo. He should have known the rule. Somebody there should have known the rule.
Right.
Because they had a whole half inning to figure it out.
Wasn't Joe Nosek the guy back in the day?
Back in the day, yeah. Yeah, he was always there. And then you also had Dave Duncan as his pitching coach, who, you know, Duncan never strayed too far away. He was always like an arm's length away from Tony La Russa. And
I just remember when Paul Richards came back, when Bill Veeck brought him back, you know, to manage. And it kind of seemed like a time warp to me as a younger person back then. And I admire La Russa. I think he's done a lot of good things in baseball. His record speaks. He's a Hall of Famer. He's back in the game. I mean, that's fine. He'll live with it. But I thought it was a bit harsh, but he should have known the rule. I mean, bottom line.
You're right. Well, Tim, thanks a lot for the call.
And as I said, that's what the media does. They grab on something and they won't let it go. He should have known. I am impressed, though, that in that press conference, he had a chance to, like, brush it off.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't know.
Right.
And I don't know if Tony would have done that years ago.
I don't either.
He'd admit that.
Yeah.
So that was really impressive. And that's good. And obviously, as we said, there are a lot of brains on that bench that should have known that and should have helped him out.
Sure.
But it wouldn't have made a difference. But that wasn't the story.
Yeah, and I don't expect...
It was the fact that he didn't know the rule, and he got caught in a press conference.
And I don't expect players to know the rule. I mean, we talked to Adam Eaton yesterday, and Jeff Miller said, you've won, you know, a few games in a row. The team's in first place. You have a half-game lead. And he goes, I didn't know any of that stuff. He goes, I come to the ballpark to play the game. Each day we try to win the game. He goes, I don't know where we are in the standings.
Well, think about being a player. You have to put yesterday behind you.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't,
good or bad.
Yeah. So they just care about winning the game, winning the next game. They're not saying, well, we're 3.5 games out. We got to get on a streak. That's what we do. Like you said, that's what the media does. What Ethan Katz does is he helps the pitching staff. He talked about some things that they've done with Dylan Cease and how it's come to fruition, and Cease has pitched very well so far.
It's been great. I mean, it's something that we really talked about. I think the one thing that's really has happened for him is the understanding of every pitch and the commitment to each pitch. That's something that we've talked a lot about with everything he's done from bullpen since day one in games. And he's done a really good job of focusing on his target and attacking his target and getting away so much from being so perfect with mechanics and trying to make the perfect pitch when he has elite stuff, and getting him to understand that to attack that spot, getting good leverage counts, and go to work with what he has.
Yeah, and maybe he loosens up a little bit. Maybe when he went to the plate and had three hits the other day, maybe that helped him loosen up a little bit.
That we didn't expect.
No.
Now we have another pinch hitter.
Well, yeah, he's got to be able to hit better than Lamb, Hamilton, right. Maybe Lurie Garcia, and also
this
Grandal.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
So why not?
Hey,
he
swings the bat. Grandal doesn't. I mean, he gets on base, and we appreciate that. But we've signed him for more than just walks.
Maybe
right?
Grandal will just go to the, maybe he'll go to the plate without a bat. Just, I don't need it. I don't need to swing.
I'm not going
to
need it this time.
No, not at all. We come back. Our rock poll. It was an interesting week in rock music, even though it's not a rock person that we're going to talk about.
Well, kind of, sort of.
And we'll talk about it when we come back. Jump on in, 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers joins us at 10 o'clock, talks some baseball. We'll get to that, your calls, after this on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Live stream ESPN 1000, or take a listen to our other shows on demand. It's the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Hey, Fred, you remember MTV, right?
I do.
Did you watch it a lot?
When they used to play videos.
Yes, with videos. Is that the only MTV? To me, that's the only MTV.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm not talking about... what's that party
the real
house?
World?
Yeah, the real world or whatever. I'm not talking about any of that.
Tyler,
although
Headbangers
Ball was...
Never was.
No.
Never was. That skipped my generation.
Never caught you? Even whatever they're doing now?
Nope.
What was the one show they did? It was initials. TRL or
Total Request Live TRL Carson Daly
Carson
got
Daly.
His start on that.
Yeah, he did that. They also had a couple of game shows on there. I think one of them, Mark Maron was an MC for, and
I couldn't tell you the name though.
Wasn't Jimmy Kimmel a host, and then he did the man show
with
that was
Adam Carolla.
That wasn't
no,
on MTV.
That was on Spike.
So yeah, I watched MTV. I was a big you know, I would always watch because I wanted to see, you know, the new songs and the videos always came out like before the album came out and things like that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
MTV was, well, we saw a lot of great things on MTV. Well, MTV is where you saw that video, that very famous video with the late now, as of yesterday.
Yep.
It was announced that Tawny Kitaen passed away at 59 years old. She was the one that so gracefully polished the hood of that Jaguar.
Was it a Jaguar?
Yeah, that was a Jaguar. In
oh, okay, because I was thinking, and I was thinking it was a Trans Am, and I'm saying to myself, no, I had a Camaro, and I thought that was...
I wish, yeah. Being a Pontiac guy. No, it was a Jaguar.
Okay.
She polished the hood real good.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She did a great job. And she also was in the movie Bachelor Party.
Yes, she... Oh, my
she
God,
was
yes,
the wife
was.
In Bachelor Party for Tom Hanks, which was a great movie.
Tremendous movie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, I say a great movie for the time it was released. You go watch it now, and it's just cheese.
It is.
It's just 80s cheese. But it was a great movie in that moment.
Yeah.
And with Tawny passing, I thought, you know what? The 80s, because I'm not really referencing any rock wives in the 90s or the 2000s because they didn't really stand out. But however, in the 80s,
yeah,
the groupies who became, well, they weren't all groupies. I shouldn't say that. But the girlfriends that became wives,
right,
they were stars themselves. And on the rock poll on Twitter at ESPN 1000, who was your favorite, quote unquote favorite, whatever that means to you, 80s rock celebrity wife girlfriend?
Okay.
Pamela Anderson. She dated Bret Michaels of Poison, then ended up with Tommy Lee of Motley Crue. Heather Locklear. Tommy Lee Ooh. Got around.
Yeah, he
Heather
did.
Locklear was married to Tommy Lee. Then he left her for Pam Anderson, and then she hooked up with Richie Sambora, and they've been apart for years. And then the late Tawny Kitaen, who was with Robin Crosby of Rat, and then after that video, she married David Coverdale.
Did she really?
Yes.
And then she was married to
Chuck Finley. And there's our sports connection.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, Tawny Kitaen was interesting. And that was a heated divorce and things with Chuck Finley.
Well, we all remember that story where he had to miss a game because he got beat up pretty bad because she just... And they were driving.
Yeah.
She pinned her high heel onto his foot on the gas pedal. Oh, man. What a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess.
But so the three were Pam Anderson,
Heather Locklear, and Tawny Kitaen.
Uh-huh.
Probably the most three famous girlfriend wives of rock stars in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they all had careers on their own.
Sure they did.
Yeah.
Big that's careers. Nice. That's yeah. nice.
So pick your fave.
Man, that's tough because Heather Locklear, of the three, she had the best acting career, I guess you'd
she
say.
She did. Right. She was on, it wasn't T.J. Hooker. She was on some show.
Oh, she was on T.J. Hooker.
Well, was that don't look at you.
I looked at Tyler.
I looked at Tyler. Tyler's not going to be a reference here.
I cannot help you here. I can use the internet, and that's about it.
Tyler, yeah.
Yeah, I'm 90% sure it
might have been. It might have been T.J. Hooker, but you know, Pam Anderson got her start on Tool Time.
That's where her start was?
Yeah.
Huh.
She went on that show, Tool Time,
right.
With Tim Allen. Yeah, and then she went to Baywatch.
Yeah.
But she was the Tool Time girl. Remember?
Okay. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where she got her start.
Huh. Yeah, Heather Locklear was on T.J. Hooker.
It was T.J., okay.
Yeah. And
not to be confused with Heather Thomas, who was on another action show in the 80s, and I actually had the poster on my wall.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know how my parents, they weren't paying attention, obviously.
You didn't have the Farrah Fawcett poster?
I had the Farrah, too.
Yeah.
That was earlier on.
Sure.
And then once the 80s showed up, I'm like, okay, I want that one. Did you have a girl poster on
your wall? I'm an idiot.
Wall?
I had athletes on my wall. I don't know.
God, you are an idiot.
I know. As I got older, I should have had women on the wall, but you would think my brothers would have had that, too. But I didn't have a lot of wall space because I slept in a room with me and my two brothers.
But you had a ceiling. You had a spot on the ceiling.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We had a ceiling. But I slept on... You know what a trundle bed is?
Yeah.
It comes out from underneath the other one.
You were the trundle boy?
I was the trundle, and my brothers were... They had bunk beds. So there was a bunk. There were bunk beds.
Aren't you the oldest?
Yeah.
Oh, because were you the biggest? So you had to be closer to the floor.
I guess. But there were time. There was one time which was the wrong time to be on the trundle bed, was when my brother was on the top bunk and got sick
and puked over the side.
Yeah. All over me, laying there, unsuspecting.
That is fabulous.
Oh, they laughed. They still laugh about it today.
Were you sleeping?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They still laugh about it today.
As they should.
I'm going to get together with them on Friday. They're going to laugh about it again. So, yeah. But that's why we didn't have a lot of rooms, because we had that. We had a dresser and then a bookcase that had books in it. And the dresser had a TV on it. So, and there were windows.
Black
so it was
and white
one.
TV, obviously.
Yeah.
And then color.
We had a Sony Trinitron, which was back in the day.
Wow.
Woo! Sony Trinitron. Are you kidding me?
High tech.
That was awesome. You just turning it on and off, you could tell it was quality.
Yeah,
it was Sony.
That pull button.
Yeah, it had a little pull button to turn it on and off.
Volume 2.
Now, the funny thing is, I saw a TV the other day. It had no on and off thing in it. There was nowhere to turn it on.
You needed the remote. So if you lose the remote,
you can't turn the TV on or off. Yeah. Plugging it in didn't turn it on. So I was like, okay, how do I turn this on? And it was a Samsung, I think. And there's no way to turn it on without. So look how far we've come.
Yeah, maybe that's too far.
I still like a little button.
But no Farrah Fawcett poster.
I've seen it. I saw it forever.
It's very iconic.
Yeah. It's been in movies itself.
Yes.
Yeah, which has been great. We come back. This guy's not been in movies, but he's all over TV. He's always on somewhere talking baseball. It is Jesse Rogers. He'll join us. We come back in just 2 minutes on ESPN 1000.